you would open your Bibles this morning, first of all, to 1 Corinthians in the first chapter. And I said first of all because I hope that we'll be able to look at a number of portions in the Word of God this morning. But I want us to begin reading in 1 Corinthians 1 at verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Through the foolishness of that which is preached, the cross, to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to set to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Now it would be hard to read this text this morning without seeing that it has a lot to say about wisdom. And the Spirit of God directs the Apostle Paul to contrast the wisdom of this world to the wisdom of God. What is wisdom? Well, let me give you a definition of wisdom out of a very old Webster dictionary. I think about 1828 or something like that. But he defined it like this. the right use or exercise of knowledge, discerning or judging what is most just, proper, and useful. Wisdom is the exercise of sound judgment, either in avoiding evils or attempting good. It seems to have something to do with solving problems. And the man that we have as the example of wisdom in the Old Testament, the man who prayed and asked God for wisdom above all things, and the man who is himself a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, was Solomon. He was known for his wisdom. And he had wisdom that was demonstrated in many things, but solving problems was one way that he demonstrated it. They brought to him two women and one baby. Both of these mothers had given birth to a child, and one of them had died in the night. And the woman whose child had died in the night claimed that the baby that the other woman had was hers, and so this dilemma or problem was brought before the wise Solomon. There was all of this knowledge. There were all of these facts. Here they all stood before him, and no one knew how to deal with the situation. And so Solomon, in his wisdom, said, just take the baby and cut the baby in half and give half to one and half to the other. Well, immediately when the true mother heard about that, just like Solomon knew would be the case, she said, oh no, she said, don't cut him in half. Just go ahead and give him to this lady. And then Solomon knew that she was really the mother. You see, wisdom has something to do with this right use or exercise or judgment of knowledge. And if you look in this text, it says that those who are following man's wisdom, or as he calls it, the wisdom of the wise, or the wisdom of this world, those who are following that wisdom, he says, are perishing. But those who are following God's wisdom, they are described as being saved. You see, man's wisdom is simply man's traditions, man's ideas, man's thoughts, who God says are not his thoughts, man's works, man's righteousness. But God's wisdom is that wisdom that is in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is called wisdom here. Look back in verse 23 and 24. Paul says, but we preach Christ crucified. That is, in contrast to all the wisdom of the world, we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Gentiles or Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, under that group of God's elect out of both of these peoples, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. He is the wisdom of God. You see, true wisdom has to do with the dilemmas and the difficulties and the problems of our relationship to God. We may have a lot of problems. We may have a lot of dilemmas in our lives that need to be solved, and we have not wisdom for them. But above all these things is the matter of how we stand before God, and especially as how we stand as sinners before God. You see, knowledge alone cannot save. We may have some knowledge or something, know something of who God is, and we may in some measure know something about our situation as sinners, but we do not know how to deal with this problem. And so all men and all women by nature, from Adam's day to this day, all deal with it in the same way, though in many variations. Turn over with me to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, where we have the real say in all that men do in this matter. Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse 19. Paul says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, in the creation and in the conscience of men. For God hath showed it unto them, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they knew this as it must be about God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened, and professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. They did that thinking they were wise. They did that. They exchanged the glory of this God who has revealed Himself in all of creation and in their very conscience, and they have sought to make Him in their so-called wisdom like unto themselves and to all created beings. You see, no one can of himself resolve the eternal question. We cannot, in our own doing, set to rest that one great issue between God and man. What is that? Well, turn back in the book of Job. First of all, in Job chapter 9, and look at what it says in Job chapter 1, Job chapter 9 and verse 2. Job says, I know it is so of a truth, but how should man be just with God? It doesn't matter what question we have about anything, for the most part, none of them matter except this question. How should man be just with God? Turn over to Job 15. Job chapter 15, and look at verse 14. What is man that he should be clean? And he which is born of a woman, that he should be righteous. Behold, he, that is God, putteth no trust in his saints. Yea, the heavens are not clean in his sight. How much more abominable and filthy is man which drinketh iniquity like water. And then turn over, if you would, to Job 25. Job chapter 25. And look down in Job 25 at verse 4, because this is what all of these verses are saying. The question is the same. How then can man be justified with God? What does that mean? That means accepted by God. That means be viewed righteous as God, be called righteous before God. Or how can he be clean that is born of a woman, who is a sinner? Life begets life. Behold, even to the moon, and it shineth not, yea, the stars are not pure in its sight. How much less man that is a worm, and the son of man, which is a worm. How can creatures born in sin, shapen in iniquity, those who fell in Adam, those who sin, those who have iniquities, and the psalmist says, if thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, who shall stand? That's the problem. That's the question. How can God be a just God and at the same time save us? How can he be just in dealing with us and at the same time justify us or declare us righteous? Man can't do that. And man doesn't have any wisdom to figure that out, so he turns to all these foolish idols that he's made and gods that he's raised up and ideas and philosophies that he's come up with. But God already has. He is wisdom. He is wisdom. And God has, in his grace, already set forth his wisdom. Look back in our text down at that next to the last verse, verse 30. Paul saying to these Corinthians, these who had been disputing in some measure between each other in the matter of preachers, preacher favorites, preacher worship, and such as that. And Paul calls them back to the fact that it is not in any of these preachers, but it is in Christ that God has given them grace. He says, but of him. Are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom? Wisdom. You see, you'll never hear God's wisdom from those who are wise men after the flesh. You will only hear God's wisdom, the only true wisdom that there is, by those who have been taught of God, by those who are exactly the opposite as those that the world holds up as wise men. Look back in verse 25. Paul says, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men, for you see, your calling, brethren, You are yourselves the very evidence of this. These very preachers that you're talking about, they're the clear example of this. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught or to nothing things that are. He doesn't use the brilliant mind. He doesn't use the eloquent speaker. He doesn't use the highly decorated individuals in religion. He uses the base things. He used fishermen and such as Paul after he took him to the backside of the desert to unlearn all that religion had taught him. He uses the base things, and there's a reason in this. That no flesh should glory in his presence. You see, Paul says, we preach Christ crucified. We preach the wisdom of God. Look in the next chapter, 1 Corinthians 2, and those first two verses. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And my speech, and I was with you in weakness, and in fear, and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Oh, he says, but we speak wisdom. We speak wisdom among them that are perfect. Yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. This isn't man-made. It's not even man-approved. But Paul wrote to the church at Colossae, and he spoke of the Lord Jesus Christ in this most total and glorious way. Whenever it concerns wisdom, he says, in Him, or in whom, are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. All the treasures, all that's worth having, all that is true wisdom, all the wisdom of God, he says, are in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we preach the grace of God, who in His sovereign grace made Christ wisdom to us. Not something we find out. Not something we discover by our intellect or by our study. If you look at that 30th verse again, it says, but of Him, that is of God. It's all of Him. It's His doing. It's His will. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus. How do we get in Christ Jesus? He put us in Christ Jesus. And in putting us in Christ Jesus, he demonstrated to us not only the wisdom of God, but the wisdom of his grace. Now I want us to notice a few things this morning. The first one is this. When was Christ made wisdom to us? And I want you to turn back in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs. To the book of Proverbs and the 8th chapter, and listen to this. I do not begin to pretend to be able to explain all that we'll read. But I will say it is without a doubt most glorious. Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs, if you remember, is this book or these sayings that were written by the wise Solomon. But as they were written, they are not simply slogans or sayings for moral life and living and such as that. They have a spiritual message to them. And they speak of Christ. And here he is. Proverbs 8. Look at verse 12. I, wisdom. Now, Tim, that's a person. That's not a theory. That's not an attribute. That's a person. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. He knows the inventions of man. I, wisdom. Now listen to this marvelous person. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine. Isn't that what was said of Christ? Wonderful counselor. And sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings reign, and princes decree justice. By me princes rule, and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. That's his sovereignty. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me, and yea, durable riches. I like that. Durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue is better than choice silver. That's the Christ. That's wisdom. When we give sign an affidavit, we take one of the things that they do, record your testimony in court. We begin this way. I, so-and-so. Here he is. I, wisdom. But listen to this. Verse 20. I lead in the way of righteousness. He's that one way. I lead in the way of righteousness. And isn't that exactly what Christ himself said? I am the way, the truth, and the life. In another place here it says, in the way of righteousness is life, and in the pathway thereof is no death. And those who Peter describes as those who had apostatized from Christ and the gospel, this is how he expressed it. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they had known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. And in the midst of the path of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. I'll fill their treasures. I know what treasure is. I am the treasure. I'll fill their treasures. But listen to him in the verses that follow. I hope you'll go home and read this again and again. He says, the Lord possessed me in the beginning of His way. Possessed there does not mean created. As a matter of fact, what we're going to find out is that Christ, contrary to what erroneous views of Unitarians and such as that present, the Arian view, I believe it's called, he was not created. This word means brought forth, ordained, set up. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of His way, before His works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet He had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world, when He prepared the heavens, I was there. When He set a compass upon the face of the depth, when He established the clouds above, when He strengthened the fountains of the deep, when He gave to the sea His decree that the water should not pass His commandment, when He appointed the foundations of the earth, then was I by Him. As one brought up with Him, and I was daily His delight, rejoicing always before Him, rejoicing in the habitable part of His earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. What does wisdom say? I was there. I was with Him. I was brought forth. I was ordained something. I was established in that hour. And His delights were in the habitable parts of the earth. His delights were in me, and my delights were in the sons of men. Can you imagine that? That's wisdom. He's a glorious person. He is not created, but brought forth. There are some who believe that He became a human soul prior to His coming to the body prepared for Him in His incarnation. And others believe what is spoken of here, He is set forth at that hour as the mediator, as the Redeemer, and the Savior in all of His offices. I don't know, and I don't understand all that is said of Christ, the wisdom of God here. But I know this. He was wisdom at that hour. He was the wisdom of God in the beginning. He was the eternal Son of God. And He was made wisdom to His people. He was brought forth in these councils and in this purpose of God's grace. And the grace of God in Christ Jesus is not an afterthought concerning Him. Salvation is not a contingency plan with God. His cross death is not God's plan interfered with. It's the wisdom of God. Christ, the wisdom of God, is in all things, in creation and salvation, in this time that is before time, before the world was, in the beginning, the wisdom of God. Let me read you a couple of verses. This is thoroughly fascinating to me. This is the time that wisdom is speaking about. In Genesis 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, we talk about eternity, and rightly so. But there seems to be, like I said, almost this time before time. That is, time before the creation of this earth, in which the Lord Jesus is identified amazingly, please. Proverbs 3. The Lord, by wisdom, hath founded the earth, by understanding hath He established the heavens. Now, He could have said just as rightly, Son, the Lord in wisdom has founded the earth. That isn't what it says. It says the Lord by wisdom. That's Christ. Christ, the eternal Son of God. Christ, the wisdom of God, is Christ, the Creator God. Listen to this one. John 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. With in the beginning. Who? Wisdom. Christ. Paul to the Colossians. Listen to this. For by Him, who? The Lord Jesus Christ. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist, and He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. One day I looked at that word preeminence, sometime back. And we know that it has with it this meaning of superior to all things. But it also has, and most particularly here, as you can see in the text, the notion of being literally, actually, the first of all things. Before all things. The cause of all things. The wisdom of God. Christ was then all in the new creation, all in the wisdom of the everlasting covenant, all in God's grace. Let me read you just a few verses. Hear ye this, O house of Jacob, which are called by the name of Israel, and are come forth out of the waters of Judah, which swear by the name of the Lord, and make mention of the God of Israel, but not in truth, nor in righteousness. For they call themselves of the holy city, and stay themselves upon the God of Israel. The Lord of hosts is his name. I have declared the former things from the beginning. And they went forth out of my mouth, and I showed them, I did them suddenly. And they came to pass. Because I knew that thou art obstinate, and thy neck is an iron sinew, and thy brow brass. I have from the beginning declared it to you. Before it came to pass, I showed it thee, lest thou shouldest say, mine idol hath done them. And my graven image, and my molten image hath commanded thee. He said, this is the reason I did this. Before all things. This is the reason I did all these things. I did them suddenly, and they came to pass, and I did them that way so you wouldn't attribute it to your idols. He's not going to let us attribute this salvation to our free will, so-called, or to this idol of man's works, or to this idol of self-righteousness. He said, I did it suddenly. I did it. And I did it then for this reason. So you wouldn't glory in it. Look back there in Proverbs 8 again. Verse 32. Now therefore hearken unto me. Hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise. Refuse it not. Who's talking? Wisdom. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whosoever findeth me, findeth life. See that? And shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me, wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me, love death. How is Christ the wisdom of God and to us? Paul makes it so very clear. It is as Christ crucified. We preach the wisdom of God, he says. And then he follows that up with this, I determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Well, Paul, don't you see what's going on in the world? We've got wars and violence and famines and pains and AIDS and all this kind of stuff. We've got all these problems between men. Well, the problems between men are the consequences of our problem with God. And men say it's wise to delve into all these matters. But God says His wisdom is in the preaching of Christ crucified. It's not even just in the preaching of Christ. Because some take and call preaching Christ just preaching about the attributes of Christ or the history of Christ or the miracles of Christ or the sacrificial expressions of Christ. No, he said Christ crucified. The preaching of this cross death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because Christ means anointed. And it is in this glorious person and in all of His offices as our prophet, priest, and king that God manifests to us His salvation and grace. Here are the questions. How can man be just with God? How can a just God be a savior of sinners? How can He deal righteously with us and yet make us righteous? How can He satisfy the demands of His justice and yet we go free? How can the debt of our sin be paid when we have nothing to pay? How can we as unholy dwell with this thrice holy one, Christ crucified? That's it. That's the wisdom of God. He is wisdom. This wisdom that was with the Father before the world was, and who created the world and became flesh and came into this world, did so to save us from our sins. As the only wise God. He became flesh in order to satisfy the claims of God and meet the need of sinful men. Because sin requires death and justice requires the shedding of blood. And only a man can die and only God can satisfy God. And He's the God-man. That Word that was in the beginning, that was God, and that was with God, John said was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, the only one brought forth of the Father, full of grace and truth. Wisdom. I, wisdom, lead in the path and way of righteousness. Paul says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. Turn over to Romans chapter 3. God set him forth, and then he came forth, the propitiation for our sins. Romans 3. Beginning in verse 19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, It saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. The Ten Commandments, every law that God gave to Israel, showed every one of us that by trying to do something to please God, or by trying to obey something to please God, no flesh is ever justified. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Being or having been justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. How is that person in the Old Testament, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all them, and how are these in the New Testament, and even to this day, how are they who believe on Christ justified, counted righteous, and at the same time, God be righteous Himself? Well, what Paul is talking about there is the cross death of Christ. Because there on that cross is wisdom, the wisdom of God. Christ made of God unto us wisdom, hanging and suffering and dying on that cross, the just for the unjust, and He is paying the price of our redemption. His blood is the ransom price for our souls. The great transaction between the Father and the Son is being manifested before men in the world. A just God is dealing with the substitute of His people in wisdom, and a holy God is revealing the way His people are made righteous. Christ is redeeming and reconciling us to God in a way that not only does not blemish the character of God, but magnifies Him. Wisdom. Christ crucified. Paul says, for He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. That's the sin problem dealt with. That's the righteousness problem dealt with. How? In Him. Wisdom. Wisdom. Let me read you one more portion, and then we'll go back to our text just briefly. Paul wrote to the Ephesians, and he said this. He said, I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of His power, unto me who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all to see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. He said, when the gospel is preached, and in the very ones who believe the gospel, he says, the manifold wisdom of God is made known. And it involves this purpose of grace, which he purposed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. That's the wisdom of God. And what's the last verse of that text in 1 Corinthians 1? That, according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. God made Christ and made us in Christ the wisdom of God. I read that 8th chapter of Proverbs. And hear wisdom say, I always was the wisdom of God. He was made by God to us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. And he did all things and manifested all things, so that we would never say, my idol is. You'll never hear one of these who know the wisdom of God say, well, I made my decision. Or it was something I was saved by my free will. Or it was my choice. Or it was by my works. Or you won't hear them say that. Why? Because they have wisdom. They have wisdom because they have Christ. They have wisdom because they have an understanding of the gospel, that Christ crucified is wisdom. And the majority of people in this world are going to die. Some of them are going to be buried. They're going to be carried to tombs in the most lavish and public and great fanfare and all that. But they will go to their graves, heralded by the world as wise men, and in the sight of God, fools. Why? Because they had no interest in him, no trust in him. Christ crucified. Ah, wisdom. Father, we pray that you would make known this wisdom, this one, Christ crucified. This one is the way in which you can be a just God and a Savior. This one in whom, through his life and death, our sin is put away and we're made righteous in your sight in him. Open our understanding. Give us faith to believe and to trust in Christ crucified. We pray that you'd honor yourself. We pray that you'd forgive us for such inability and failure to honor you, even in this message, as we ought to. But we know you're our wisdom, the only wisdom we have. And we thank you. Help us to count all other things foolishness and to hold by faith to the wisdom of God. Watch over us as we depart out of this place. Gather us back at that appointed time when we would open your word again and worship you. Bless these that have been mentioned and many others. Bless and help your people and your servants throughout this world. And gather us all at that appointed time. And bless us to enjoy your presence, your uninterrupted presence, for worlds without end. Bless this word to those who might hear it by tape or any means you might establish. For we pray that you'd get all glory unto yourself. Amen.